You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. I'm Art Ray. On the show today, we'll be learning about the Glad Helpers Prayer Group. David Riblett is going to talk to us about it. Well, thanks for coming on the show today.
Art, you're welcome.
Now, what does it mean to be a Glad Helper?
Art, each of us Glad Helpers has had our own journey to get there. To be a Glad Helper means being of service to those who come seeking. And it's a process. It's something that draws us from all over the U.S. and also the globe. We have a member who came from Germany, who the first time he set up there realized that was where he was supposed to be. We had another member who had either a dream or a vision over 20 years ago and forgot about it. And had actually been at Glad Helpers for, over 4 months when they realized that they actually had pictured this site, including the hill leading up to the old hospital building, and had pictured the room that we do the Glad Helpers morning meetings in, Wednesday morning meetings in. So each of us has been led here to be part of this group consciousness that's gone on since 1931. Cayce, at that time, had lost the hospital and lost the university and actually was in quite a confusion as to what he was supposed to do with this work. It was bittersweet, in that he knew he was supposed to follow this calling, but now what was he supposed to do? I started to search for God groups, and one evening, in a dream, one of his Search for God members came to him and said that the work wouldn't be complete without forming a healing prayer group, and actually named seven names of the original Glad Helpers that were supposed to start with Cayce. So Cayce started the healing prayer group, and other people quickly also set in. It didn't stay limited to those seven people. The other people that joined in also had a calling, an interest to be there. Some of the original seven didn't stay long, and other people who started to attend became quite regular in their attendance. And they actually were relearning how to be a healing prayer group, because at least some of them have been with Cayce back when he was Ra in 10,500 B.C. So while the principles were new in this life, they weren't new in their experience of their soul. So that's a little bit about how the Glad Helpers started and what it's like to be a Glad Helper. It is, of course, very personal for each and every one of us. I was literally compelled one morning to go there.
My mother had been a Glad Helper, and she was no longer a Glad Helper at the time I started to come. I had another friend who was a Glad Helper who had never pushed it on me. And one January morning in 2007, I was literally compelled to come here. I did not attend a manager's meeting at the Heritage Store, which was the first time in 20 years that when I worked a day, I didn't attend it. I canceled a regulatory meeting because I was one of the few critical people that unless I was there, they couldn't have it. It made such an impression on me, I knew I belonged here, that I went back, arranged for the managers to change the time of the meeting, and the following Wednesday, I started to regularly attend, and my life has changed ever since. It's just been such a blessing.
Well, what is the purpose of the Glad Helpers?
The purpose of the Glad Helpers is to help those who are seeking healing. That can come on a lot of different levels. It could be a physical healing. It could be a financial healing. People come to us looking for jobs. People come because they're looking to find a house. They come because they have their own personal physical ailment. They come because someone they care about has an ailment. And that gets into the nuances of actually how we do our work. We have direct prayer. Spirit is a life, mind is the builder, and the physical is the result. So whatever people are going on, have going on in the physical realm, started spiritually and in their minds, and then came out manifesting in the physical. So we don't even really want to know what somebody has going on that they're asking for prayer. We just pray for them so they get the healing they need. Actually knowing could cause us to direct the prayer at the condition, which is not how we pray. There are a couple different kinds of prayer. The direct prayer is when somebody directly asks us for help. So, and again, it could be anything that's a physical ailment, a job, any one of a number of reasons. So we would actually directly pray for them. The International Healing Prayer List, which the prayer services at ARE collates, is actually people's requests for prayer, and people turn those names in by the 15th of the month, and I believe they appear not the following month, but the month after that, because there's some lag time in getting the names out to everybody. The GLAD helpers actually get them immediately. Anyone who calls in during the week that asks for direct prayer gets added to the list that we get every Wednesday morning. There's other kinds of prayer, too. There's surround prayer. Surround prayer is used when someone has a concern for someone that's going through something, but that person who's going through the particular problem is or experience is not directly asking for prayer. So in that particular case, we surround them. We've also learned that sometimes, depending on the person's condition, we need to go ahead and surround them, even if they directly ask. There was a person a long time ago who was having a struggle with addiction, and they asked for prayer, and the group prayed for them. They reported back the next week that it had actually been worse that week, and it's because they got so much energy, it actually magnified the struggle they were having. So we learned with addictions to go ahead and surround people rather than directly pray for them. Surrounding the person with light, so that the light that they have around them all the time, that's part of their own natural wholeness that they walk into the earth plane with, we're just surrounding them, reinforcing that that's light for them to use in any way that's best for them. That way we're not overpowering them by sending direct prayer, which is, in the case of someone with addictions, just too powerful. We also treat people with Alzheimer's the same way. And, because again, it's just too much for somebody to be getting that kind of direct, powerful energy when they're in that physical state. And keep in mind that it's a group energy that we're sending to people. We all show up as individuals on Wednesday mornings, but there's an energy of the people who are physically there. There's also a non-physical presence that I think has been in that room since we started meeting in that room. And it magnifies. It's people who aren't in physical form that also are there to help people who ask. And the combination of those two forces is just incredibly powerful. I'll share a quick story from when I started. First couple months I sat in the back row, and there was one morning that there were three people that were sitting in the front row. Glad helpers had been there for some time. And I remember that I'd opened my eyes, and then I closed my eyes, and I could actually see seven forms in the chairs in the front. The three that were physically there, and four that weren't physically there. Which was quite a surprise to me. I hadn't expected that. But I've learned in exploring my own consciousness to accept what I experience and then understand it later. So we've had some members who've been aware of other GLAD helpers, of Eulyn Casey being there, of one morning all the GLAD helpers being there at once that had been GLAD helpers in the past. There have been times that a couple of our members saw monks that were sitting there in brown robes. So different GLAD helpers have different abilities in what they experience. And it's certainly, it's an interesting place to be on Wednesday mornings.
We'll be right back with more with David Riblett on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce.